So welcome to another episode of Podcraft. This is the show all about podcasting, from planning and launch to growth and monetization. My name's not Colin, as you might have already guessed. It's in fact Matthew. Colin's out there in the world somewhere. I don't know where. It's some sort of, I think he's maybe at an event, or who knows, he might be on holiday. He is an international man of mystery. But the good news is, you don't have to suffer me alone. I'm joined by a much more intelligent fellow than myself, Sean from the Alitu team. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Matthew. I wouldn't go as far to say much more intelligent, but I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
Substantially more intelligent then. So yeah, just for this season of Podcraft, going to dip in and utilise the talents of the various team members here at Alitu and the podcast host, because we've got lots of different skilled people that do lots of different skilled jobs, all of which could really benefit you, the podcaster, the listener, towards giving you tips towards growing your own show, building your own show. And on this episode, we're leaning on Sean's expertise of being found out there in the world, SEO, that complicated world, and all that jazz. So SEO, Sean, what does that stand for, just for anyone who's not aware of it?
Yeah, well, first, thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here speaking with you, Matthew, and I look forward to talking through SEO. And so SEO happens to be search engine optimization. That's probably a phrase that many of you have come across. And what that essentially is, there's two very specific elements to SEO, which is on-site SEO and off-site SEO. Now, on-site SEO includes anything from blogs to meta titles, meta descriptions, all of these sort of back-end elements to a specific post that helps search engines to find you naturally on the internet, whether that's Google or Bing or DuckDuckGo, whatever search engine you happen to use. Ideally, though, they're going to be finding you. And this is where search engine optimization comes in. It's the organic traffic that's coming to you as opposed to direct traffic, somebody typing in your URL directly into their browser, or somebody coming to you through paid ads.
Yeah, it's one of those things that we've talked about a lot on the show, the fact that like you figure out when you're planning your podcast, you know what your target audience wants. You hopefully know that anyway. You know what they might be searching for online. You create content that's similarly titled, or it's got the relevant keywords and stuff like that, and then they find you. That sounds really simple, doesn't it? So if it's that simple, like, why is it such a big, not necessarily complicated, but you know, it's a multi-billion pound industry, I guess, isn't it?
Certainly. And I think the complication comes from, obviously, there's a lot of tools in the industry, and we'll get into those tools and what the tips and tricks that they provide you for optimizing your content. But I think ultimately what makes it so complicated is that there's hundreds, if not thousands, of other businesses or organizations out there who are actively seeking the same keywords that you are. And so structuring your content in the right way and making sure that you have the right number of keywords, the right number of images, content within your website is essential. And so it's not only is it a very detailed thought process to getting your content visible to your readers, but it can also be a very analytical one where you're being very nitpicky on the details and the degree of which you're implementing some of these SEO strategies.
I guess a big question that some of the listeners might have just now is, well, why would this matter to me if I'm working in audio? And I guess we need to look there not as the audio podcast or video podcast, if it might be, in isolation, because these things are all backed up by the written format, aren't they? Whether that's just purely in the titles or whether it's extensive blogs and websites as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, from an SEO perspective, you need written content. At the moment, search engines, they're not capable of analyzing video or audio in order to be SEO friendly. So ultimately, you need to be converting that that content, the audiovisual content, into something that's written and tangible for these search engines to pick up on. Basically, because that doesn't translate, you need to be putting effort into bringing that to your blog. And so that's where transcripts come in really handy. So you can convert your existing podcast into a fully written transcript. And I wouldn't suggest taking that and then simply uploading that to a blog post. But what it does is it creates all of the content that you've generated through your podcast into written word, and gives you a framework from which you can create a blog post from. You can go through and refine that into more legible, more reader-friendly content.
Yeah, and that could even happen at the planning stage, can't it? Because when you go into a podcast episode, whether you're co-hosted or running solo, you usually do have some sort of a script or a flow that you're going to hit, you know, certain beats that you want to cover. Those are almost your subheadings in your articles, aren't they? You know, we're going to start with this, we're going to talk about that, that and that. And that could lead to a very good structure for a blog post that might be quite SEO friendly.
Exactly. I think there's a lot of similarities in podcast structure in terms of how you're recording that translate really well to written content. So it's not a big stretch to be taking that transcript and applying it to a blog post. It's a perfect stepping stone, in my opinion.
Some listeners, I guess, they could be slightly disillusioned, because it's the same. And just if we look at podcasting on its own, there is that fact that when you're starting a podcast and you know, the way that your show ranks in a podcast search engine, most of the popular apps, they're maybe going to, you know, if we take Apple Podcasts, for example, the search ranks that come up when you type a keyword in, it's based on the all-time number of subscribers that a podcast has had. So if I launch a show today under a certain keyword, I'm going to rank quite low down. And then similarly, you know, if we look at just our websites and how our articles are ranking, especially, you mentioned already, Sean, that they could be quite competitive depending on your topic. Some listeners might think, you know, is there any point in even starting now? Because I'll just be so far behind now that is there even any point in getting involved in this?
Well, it's a really good question. And I think something that can be very daunting for individuals who are starting out. Certainly SEO is a long game. When you're deciding to pick up an SEO strategy and implement it for a blog or for a podcast, like we're discussing, you need to be planning into the future. You're not going to be showing up ahead of those high ranking, high subscribed, podcasts right from the beginning. But that's not to say that putting in the effort, to capture those keywords, and rank for that on search engines is going to be fruitless, because ultimately, your ideal listeners are not necessarily searching through Apple Podcasts or Spotify only to find your podcast. They might be searching through any search engine to come across your content. And so focusing from a blog perspective on your website and generating that content will inevitably help you grow your podcast more organically than basically later on those platforms, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can then begin to focus your content as you build those subscribers and those listens. You can then begin to optimize it a little bit further in terms of the keywords that you're putting in your titling, in your show notes, etc.
Here's another wee musing on maybe the similarities between just podcasting on its own and building strategies like this. So we talk a lot on this show about seasonal podcasting. And that's it, regardless of, you know, whether you're taking breaks in between your seasons. The key point here is that your content is organized into blocks that tie into each other. So like on Podcraft, we've got a season about starting, we've got a season on equipment, we've got a season on monetization. I guess, Sean, that is it good practice to look at your website of content in that sense too? You know, the term content clusters, for example, is it a good idea to look at your website almost like a map and say, you know, this content over here on this subject should tie in here, and there should be a structure rather than just I'm going to create articles on whatever takes my fancy in this moment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, obviously, as I mentioned previously, strategy is a big one going into this. And so if you begin to sort of segment down the content that you're going to be producing, and like you say, clustering those topics together, then you begin to sort of set out a hierarchy of the content that you're creating on the website. And then you can do internal backlinking within your website to refer to these other articles, which are within the same umbrella of content. And then as you build out those seasons, you start to develop more umbrellas that this detailed content can live below. And yeah, like you say, it sort of webs out into a much more cohesive strategy as you build out these seasons.
Another term we've talked about, clusters there, another term I hear quite a bit is pillar content. Could you give us a wee definition of that, Sean?
Yeah, so pillar content or cornerstone content is a more broader look at specific keywords. Yeah, say give me an example of one of the cornerstone content that you've written, Matthew.
Yeah, so probably the general how to start a podcast article.
Absolutely. So perfect example, how to start a podcast. It's a very broad term. It's not niching down in any specific way. So you write a very thorough blog post on how to start a podcast with this what's called a pillar post or a cornerstone. You're basically creating the framework from which you're intending to structure your future content. As you develop that, you're writing further posts that are more niche, but still help the overall, focus of the cornerstone article. And so there, with that, you begin to point back, link back to the main article, giving the main article some SEO juice, as it's referred to. And as these further developed secondary pieces refer back to the main article, you continue to build up this cornerstone piece. And the more articles that are referring back to that, the more authority that you're giving to that specific pillar article.
Yeah, I've found that a bit, you know, and sort of writing and maintaining our pillar content or our cornerstone content, as we could call it. And I'm always of the opinion that, you know, bad writing is too many caveats. You know, you're talking about this and then also this. And if you keep doing that on a huge article, you know, like how to start a podcast on a huge wide topic, you're never actually going to finish the article. So it's always a good way of determining, you know, does this need a paragraph or does this in fact need its own article that then we could just hyperlink to that. And it's also going to go off into the internet and do its own thing if other people are searching for that term, as small as that might be, you know, maybe just 3 people a month search for that, but they really need the answer to that thing and you're getting them back on your site. You've then maybe got your podcast player on there, you've got your subscribe link, so you're just drawing people in all the time, aren't you?
Absolutely. And I think that's a really good approach. As you write these cornerstone pieces, like you say, they begin to grow their own legs. And if you find that that's happening a little bit too much when you're reviewing your cornerstone pieces, then you can write an entire separate article, on, even a small, a single sentence from the cornerstone piece or expand on a paragraph that already exists in there. And then from the cornerstone piece, you're linking out to the secondary piece.
What about, like we've talked about internal linking between your website and how you might set that up, how you might look to structure it. What's the value in getting links from other people out there, other websites out there?
Right. And so this goes back to the very beginning, those two main sections of SEO. So we talked about on-site search engine optimization, but there's, as you suggested, Matthew, there's off-site. And this includes referrals from other trusted websites, social media signals, whether it's your own social media that's pointing back to your content or others. Question spaces like Reddit or Quora, all pointing back to your website. So to answer your question, the benefit of offsite links, when you begin to build these backlinks, what is what they're called, from other sources, what essentially the internet and search engines are recognizing through this process is that you're an authority on a specific subject. So say, for instance, you've got your cornerstone piece on how to create a podcast. There will be other individuals, other businesses that recognize that as an educational source. They'll link back to it. And through this process, say, for instance, they also exist in the podcast space, them linking back to your website, giving you credit, suggests to Google that you are to be trusted on this specific detail. And then you'll get more value through those backlinks. And obviously, the more backlinks that you generate from other sources, the more value that you're giving to your own website. And not all backlinks are created in the same way. What I mean by that, they don't all have the same value. So, say for instance, you've got a backlink from a very reputable government agency or a news agency. Those are going to be a lot more credible than your mate who's running a blog post, a podcast blog, and gives that same backlink to your website. Ultimately, you need to be focusing on the quality and the credibility of these backlinks. But starting from somewhere is better than nothing. So, having your friends link back to your blog post is also quite valuable.
Yeah, so a link from the BBC better than a link from Tam's MySpace. So we might look at what's known as a domain authority score for stuff like that to kind of gauge that. Is that right?
Yeah. So there's a number of sort of noted measurements for this, but yeah, domain authority is sort of the gold standard for how you measure the quality of that backlink. And that's really simple to find out. You can go to Ahrefs, which we can include in the show notes, because that's one of the tools that we will be discussing shortly. But they have a backlink checker where you can just put a URL into their website, and it'll assess what the domain authority is on that specific website.
Cool. So time to maybe switch over to some tips or low-hanging fruit, early stage tactics for the listener then. Have you got a few? Have you prepared a few for them, Sean?
Yeah, sure. So I think one of the tools that is really overlooked and is such an easy win to give you a broader perspective on your current SEO standing is Google Search Console. It's a free tool provided by Google, obviously. And you just go in there, you plug in your domain, you get set up, and within a week, you'll have useful information to see how your website is currently performing on Google Search. With that, you'll see a number of keywords that you're already ranking for. You're already getting a decent amount of visits to your website directly through that, or at least you're coming up in your website or your blog post is coming up in those searches. So with that, you have an idea of the potential search volume and visits that you could be generating to your website. And you can just begin with those keywords that already exist there. In some cases, it might be the name of your podcast, and that's great if your podcast is sort of descriptive in the name, because it can already start generating potential listeners. It might have to do with some of the subjects that you're focusing your content on. And this is a really great start, because ultimately with ranking through SEO, you need to rank for something before you rank for the bigger keywords. You're not going to go out there and rank for the keyword podcast. It's just not going to happen. Nor would it necessarily be helpful to you in the long run. But the more niche keywords, which you're already probably showing up for in Google search, are the ones that are going to generate you the listeners who are relevant to what you are producing. So search engine, Google Search Console is a great place to start. And then just focusing on those niche keywords, getting ranked for something and developing that further.
Can you use that for free, the Google Search Console?
Absolutely free. As is Google Analytics, many of the Google tools provide those entirely free to users. So that's why it's such a valuable point to start your search engine optimization strategy.
Cool. So Google Search Console is definitely something that the listeners should be checking out then to get a bit of a helping hand with stuff like this. Before we kick on, Sean, let's just talk quickly about Alitu, because you work over there at Alitu, don't you? And we just released a big grand feature recently, didn't we, in hosting?
Yeah, it's been really exciting. Obviously, with hosting, it's difficult if you're new to podcasting. It's difficult to understand what sort of value this provides to podcasters. Myself being very new to the podcasting scene, I didn't know what the workflow and the tools that were necessary to get up set up with your entire podcast. But now with hosting from Alitu, it is a complete package. You can literally start with recording, editing, producing, and then publishing straight through to hosting, all in one space. And I mean, obviously I'm a fanboy of Alitu, so working there has been really exciting. But it's really fantastic what they've done in such short order to provide this tool to not only beginner podcasters, but creatives throughout the spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, if I look back 12 years ago now when I got into podcasting, like a tool like this would have been unthinkable back then. And learning how to record and edit and upload and publish and distribute, you know, it was pretty complicated. It took me a lot of, and there wasn't even, you know, content like ours. And that day, there was very few of it. So I was asking a friend that I knew that ran a podcast and had to do some quite clunky things. So having a tool like Alitu these days, you know, pretty much an all-in-one platform for podcasters. So we're running, for anyone who's interested, I believe, can they get their first month for $5 now? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Just under $5, actually, and that'll give you an opportunity to get in, try it out, and see how it works for you. Ultimately, that's what the deal is all about. People having an opportunity to try it and see if it's what they need to create their podcast.
Lovely stuff. So if you're interested in checking out Alitu, head on over to alitu.com and get a wee look over there. Kicking on with our SEO discussion, Sean, I had a couple of wee things to ask you before we get wrapped up. Just looking at, you know, when we're talking about running a website, I know that there are a lot of different platforms you could use out there. One of the most popular, probably the most popular, is obviously WordPress. Certain things that I notice when I'm in the WordPress interface, I'm creating a blog post. So you're creating a URL for your post. Is it good to get a couple of keywords in your URL rather than, you know, by default, sometimes it will create this huge URL for you. So is that something we should be paying attention to?
Absolutely. So refining down your URL to the most relevant keywords that you're trying to rank your content for is probably the highest priority of the blog post, including structuring your title very well. So making sure that you've got the keywords within the URL. So your domain.com/keywords for that specific post is going to be a very high priority. Sort of trickling down from that as a priority would then be obviously the name of the post itself. So making sure that you're getting the keywords within that initial title. And then also focusing on things like meta title and meta description. These are the title and this description that would show up in a Google search. And these, if you're using a WordPress site, you would use a tool like Yoast in order to structure these. On Squarespace or Wix, you have similar tools, but they're built in directly to the back end of the blog post generator. So just making sure that you're going through your blog posts and utilizing those tools and making sure that the meta description and meta title are in there and that they're relevant and beneficial to the actual content that you're writing. And don't go out of the way to like keyword stuff and overwhelm. You want it to be appealing to the reader. So getting the reader through is the absolute goal. And if you start to keyword stuff, meaning you're throwing the keyword in there more times than would make sense as a general title or description, then Google will pick up on that and you'll be penalized. So avoid that.
Yeah, Google's getting more intelligent every year, isn't it? And they really do stress, from my limited knowledge about it, like write for humans here. Don't write for what you think the machine wants to hear, because it's getting very sophisticated with the keyword stuff, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think you're right. Focus on the human first. This is what Google's latest release on their algorithm has been, is to focus on content that is most useful to the human reader as opposed to the bot. So yeah, just write as you'd like to be reading content ultimately.
What about categories or tags in our posts? So like the category we might select, you know, this might be an equipment category. We're going to talk about a microphone. So that'll build that into the URL as well, won't it? Like it'll be like whatever.com/equipment/ then your actual URL. Is that important for SEO?
Certainly it can have an effect on the SEO that you're working with. Ultimately, if you're niching down your content, you're making it more specific to your reader. Say you're doing an article about best microphones for a podcaster. If it's under that equipment leg of the website, then it has a bit more thoughtfulness and just structure for both Google and for the reader. It's not to say that it necessarily will improve your search value, but it helps with site structure overall, which is recognized from search engines. So if it's a well thought out structure, it will be then more beneficial to your SEO.
Just what one sort of final question or scenario, I guess. Let's say you've got two rival podcasters competing for the same search term. It's a very popular search term in their niche, and they're maybe both fortunate enough to be up at first and second place, and they're battling it out. And, you know, one day one podcaster checks and she's top, and then the next day the other guy's top. And what's going on there? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, so basically what people are doing is going back and refining their content. And this is recommended in any SEO strategy. It's not a set and forget type of work. You need to be actively going there and reviewing your content on a regular basis. And ultimately, that's what's happening, is these two individuals are going back and forth, reviewing their content and seeing how they can tune it to be just slightly better than the competitor. And this is constantly ongoing. It's why SEO is a long-term strategy, and why the space continues to be so fluid, is because people are constantly reviewing and updating their content to be most viewable to the end user.
It's a bit terrifying too, isn't it? Like, you could build an entire business based on a few articles that are well searched for, and Google could just end that for you tomorrow. Like, they could change something and that could just go away.
Well, and this is the thing, that then you go into other structures of marketing and making sure that you are best preparing yourself for that inevitability that you might disappear from Google overnight. So making sure that you're integrating email lists into your podcasts, and getting people to follow you on social media. That's a whole other podcast that you and I could go through, Matthew, but yeah, making sure that you're not only betting everything on one horse like Google. You need to be spreading out your marketing strategy.
Yeah, and I guess that's, again, the benefit of a podcast is that it kind of lives on its own. You know, it's very linked up with your website, but it still has its own, like, its own home elsewhere, you know, your RSS feed and all that. So if you're getting folks to subscribe to your podcast, you're keeping that audience no matter what Google does, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Is Ask Jeeves still a thing? You know anything about Ask Jeeves?
Yeah, so I think it's now just ask.com.
So Jeeves is dead.
Jeeves went by the wayside. Yeah. but I don't know. I haven't used it in probably since it was Ask Jeeves. So
I'm scared to type it in just in case it's been hijacked by some weird, like,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Malware. So I'm not typing it in. But yeah, a lot of people asked him questions back in the days. Probably got just bored, tired. Maybe lives in the Caribbean now. Jeeves, yeah. If you're listening, please get in touch. Let us know you're okay.
Thinking about you, Jeeves.
Sean, it's been a great conversation. Just in closing, like, you did that wee Alitu ad recently. You filmed an advert in a cafe in Edinburgh, I believe. That looked a lot of fun. It was a really, I'll put a link to it in the show notes, but what was that like, just doing that wee set piece?
It was a lot of fun. We worked with a local director and producer, and we had really great neighbors who opened up their cafe for us to film it in. But it was a really great creative journey to put together this commercial, which I think is quite fun. Circumvents the typical tech commercial. It doesn't really focus on the tech. It focuses on the story of the individuals and the challenges that that individuals have with sort of segmenting software. Software just all over the place that is a little bit more challenging to navigate than if it were cohesively in one single package.
One login, one subscription. That's like a future Lord of the Rings kind of. I don't know, they could maybe do something. One login to rule them all.
Well, that's, I mean, there it is. You just created our next commercial. Perfect.
So the Alo 2 advert then, is it just going to be online? Any plans to play? Is it the Super Bowl? Is that the really famous, the adverts are more famous than the event itself? We could maybe stick it in there.
We've pitched for to launch it at the Super Bowl. I'm not sure our budget will quite cover it, but you know what? We'll just try and see how it goes.
Aye, they can only say no, and they will. Good stuff, Sean. I really appreciate you spending some time with me and the listener. In the absence of Colin as well, like I say, don't know where he is. He could be literally anywhere, but I think that's been a really useful conversation. I've learned some stuff as well. I'm going to take that into my day and perform some heroics in the old SEO world. So any plans for the rest of the day or week, Sean?
We've got some exciting things that we're working on, both with the podcast host and Alpha too. So I won't go into detail because you'll be hearing about those shortly. But yeah, thanks for having me on. It's been a real pleasure, and it's been excellent practice for me because I plan on launching a podcast not in the not so distant future, and this was my first opportunity to participate in a podcast.
Great stuff. Well, I'm sure it won't be the last time, Sean. I'm sure we'll lean on you again in the near future. So thanks again for joining us. Thanks very much to the listener. All links in the show notes. Just open up your podcast app. You'll find it all in there. Or you could head over to thepodcasthost.com as well and check out all the great content that we've got. Thanks very much, and we'll see you on the next one.